And now for the theme tune.
Welcome to the Marmite Queens podcast. We're the rulers you either love or hate. I still don't know if by heart. And each week we'll be setting the world to rights. Then, from a randomly generated word, we'll be finding strange stories to tell each other, almost having a giggle and not needing alcohol to bring our special brand of madness directly to your ears. Full disclaimer, there will be not safe for work content and probably a strong view or two expressed. So settle in and enjoy the car crashing into a dumpster fire. That is Sam and Laura.
Good morning. Is it morning? Yes!
Still morning.
Good morning. Guten Morgen, Fräulein. How is thou?
I don't know why that just tickled me so much. I'm good. How are you?
I'm also good. I'm good. I'm in a good mood today. I'm tired, sleep deprived, so I'm slightly like... I'm like at that level of good. You know?
And you're like...
Just be... Yeah. I'll be like... and then I'll be... You'll be like, Sam. And you'll just...
Yeah, at some point you're going to do the... Oh no, I blinked and it's quite and nice. That
slowly, because I'm sat on my bed, so I'm in the Lana,
danger zone. So,
yeah,
how's your week?
My week has been generally up until the weekend shitmate. It's right. It's just me. It was just my mental health being a twat. It was basically that. I was just up and down all over the place. At one point, I had a huge panic attack and a mild existential crisis. But I'm fine now. The weekend was great. How's your week been?
Great.
I got the existential crisis. It's fine.
I think. Yeah, I had a dip in the middle of the week, but other than that, it was okay. I had a weird 2 days, and I was just like, I'm going to burn this place to the ground and go live in a cave like a hobbit. Not a hobbit, a hermit.
I was going to say, don't live in caves.
No, and hobbits are too sociable. No, a hermit is what I meant.
So sociable. Oh, my God. Can you imagine being a hobbit with social anxiety? It would be a nightmare.
Whoops. Oh, well. So then, let's do a negative first so we can end on a positive.
All right.
So what was one thing you disliked, hated, wanted to pour hot lava onto this week?
Yes. You've made me excited with that little intro. What did I want to pour hot lava onto this week? Well, a lot of things, actually, but I shall... I shall keep it brief. What should I choose? Okay, I know what I'll go with. So the thing that has been pissing me off this week to a, like, monumental fucking level is seeing people rip off other people's shit.
Ooh.
Like, I know very well as... someone that has a background in acting and obviously writing and just creativity in general, that there is no such thing as an original idea anymore. Yes?
I'm just gonna back away because I'm lip syncing. That's just
No, that does not count. That does not fucking count. Like, there's no such thing as, you know, like an original idea. There's only original spins on things that have already happened, right? And I get that, and that's fine. And wonderful, actually, because you can be inspired by stuff and be like, oh my God, that would be so cool. What if I could put it from this perspective and instead of that, and you know, that's the fun. It's like a big sandbox and you get to play and like, it's awesome. That's all great. My issue comes with when someone sees like the hard work that someone has been like fucking plowing the field. I don't know farming metaphors, but I assume that's hard work, right?
Yeah, I imagine.
And this other person's been like,
Well, nothing's growing in my field, so what I'm going to do instead is I'm just going to take this shit little signpost and put it in front of theirs and tell everyone that this is my field.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the blatant stealing of other people's stuff. And, like, blatant isn't even strong enough a word. It's just the bare fucking brazen-ass cheek of putting no effort, no spin, no nothing, just going, yeah, that's mine now. And always doing it worse.
Yeah. There's a difference between paying homage to something, isn't there, and being like, oh my God, this has really inspired me, and then doing, like you said, like, what is a carbon copy of it? Because there's no point in it. What is the point in having doing a carbon copy of it?
Yeah. And an homage is respectful. It's a tip of the hat. It's saying, like, this thing has inspired me so much that I want to pay homage to it in this. Whereas a ripoff is so disrespectful, and it is pissing me off to no end. And I would love to pour hot lava onto that.
Onto
Laura, what have you hated this week with the passion of a wronged goddess who you wish from your high perch in the silver clouds wish to take your powers and smite down to ash?
What did I not like this week? Go with the thing I watched last night. Line of Duty season. I know, right?
What?
It was the series finale last night, and I've seen so many memes of people doing the drawing of a horse where it starts off and the back of the horse is amazing and the middle of the horse is kind of meh, and then the head of the horse is just shit. Like,
yeah. Oh, no.
Because that's what it was like. And I completely understand the point the guy is making. Like, he wanted to make the point that, you know, to leave people feeling frustrated and confused and annoyed because corruption and, like, corruption within places of power is still a huge thing that's going on, and you know, it's not solved, it doesn't get wrapped up neatly, and then he doesn't want it to be wrapped up neatly and then people to forget about it. Mm-hmm. And I completely get all that. What I don't like is just the quality in the writing and the editing seem to, like, the actors were fucking phenomenal.
Oh, okay. Like, so the world hasn't gone completely upside down.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was more the editing and sort of the storytelling as a whole, because there was loads of little things that weren't, given the way Line of Duty works, it should have wrapped everything up in this, especially from this season, in this season finale, and it didn't. It was like loads of disjointed little bits that seem to have just been moved around and put in various places. So it kind of, that was the thing I didn't really like this week, because, and I've seen a lot of reaction online of people being like, yeah, but he's done it on purpose to frustrate people. And I'm like, yeah, you can do that to frustrate people, but you still should have, the editing still should have been smoother. The storytelling should have been smoother.
Yeah, because it is, at the end of the day, a fictional story. And of course we use fiction to, like, highlight real life issues. That's literally its entire point and purpose. That's how, you know, stories started. But you still need to obey some form of structure.
Yeah, exactly. And the way Line of Duty's always worked is that you already know sort of who the bad guy is, or you're told who the bad guy is, and the sort of shocks and revelations don't really come from learning who the bad guy is, they come from stuff surrounding it,
right?
And it's not like a I had no idea they were the bad guy. It's more like they kill off a character that you didn't think they were going to kill off.
Yeah.
And I think that's what everybody was braced for last night with Line of Duty, was either a death or, like, just some sort of heartbreak in there, and just some sort of, like, big cathartic thing. And we didn't get any of that. Like, there was no catharsis to it. And Dave actually after we finished watching it, Dave said, well, now we know what AC12 stands for. Anticlimax.
Maybe the writer was being like, trying to be really meta, and he was like, the death is the fans' love of the show. That's the death.
Moving on. Yes. What is something you enjoyed this week? What tickled your pickle? What made you shout from the rafters? What made you happier than a gay man in a bathhouse?
Okay. I mean, I enjoyed all of those. Wonderful. So I had occasion to, not that I need occasion. I was started to rewatch Elementary again for the 500th time. And as we were talking briefly off air about this, I fucking love that show so goddamn much. I could write a dissertation on that show. I think it's so rare to find a procedural with real integrity that maintains that integrity throughout its lifespan, which I think Elementary does very well. The journey of Sherlock and his recovery and the relationship between him and Joan, which never, ever, ever veers anywhere near any kind of romantic, which I fucking am obsessed with that. There is always feels like there's a slight homoerotic tone to Holmes and Watson. Oh.
1,000% there is.
Right. 1,000%. So, but when you replace John with Joan, there's none of that. It's just they very clearly love each other so fucking much, but it's a platonic familial love. It's a chosen family above and beyond. I would die for this person, but I don't want to see the genitals kind of love, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I was rewatching that, and I'm obsessed with John Lee Miller anyway. That guy is a fucking amazing actor, so fucking talented, and his portrayal of Holmes is, in my opinion, controversial take I know, the best that I've seen. I love Cumberbatch, don't get me wrong, but his take and the way they play him, like you were saying, as a human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. So that's what I have very much enjoyed.
That's what has allowed it to run for so many seasons though as well, because it's not like the quality diminishes over the seasons with Elementary either. It's in what is it in season 10 or something like that?
Well, it's finished now. I think it finished on season 7.
Season 7.
I'm but sure there were season 7.
Season 7, but there were still 24 episodes in a season, and it didn't normally. Especially with American television shows, the quality diminishes as they try to drag shit out. And I think with Elementary, I don't think you get that at all. But I think like Cumberbatch is the sort of aloof sort of, oh, he's so hot, but he's so aloof. But oh my God, he's almost vampiric, the way he plays Sherlock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's supposed to be this unattainable sort of cold monster-like person that, and if you are chosen to be part of his life, it's an incredibly special special thing, which is why I think so many people like him. And that's oh my God, that's why, ew, that's why I like him.
Everyone needs to be do you want to be special, right? And there is no doubt that Sherlock Holmes is exceptional.
Yeah. And then, but then, yeah, Johnny Lee Miller is so human. It's, and the way they handle his addiction is one of the best things that I've ever seen. It's done on television.
It's phenomenal. And what I love about that is it's never forgotten.
No.
You know how a lot of the time they'll put in these big things and they'll use it as a plot device for a season, and then it's kind of referenced just every now and again. But his drug addiction is present throughout the entire run of the series, as it should be, because when you are a drug addict or any kind of addict, that's, you are for life, and it is with you every day. And so, you know, just from the little things like the first episode where he's so much more irritable because he's literally fresh out of rehab. And as the seasons go on, he enjoys showing people that he is so much more intelligent than them. But at the beginning, he's annoyed that people don't see it straight away because he's still very, he's antsy. Like, obviously the drugs are out of his system, but he's still very much like, he wants them, but he will not have them because, you know, it's all that thing that people go through with his kind of stuff on top of it. What about you, babe? What did you really enjoy this week? Hang on. What did you enjoy with the exuberance of a newborn Pegasus that is flying through the air with a cherub upon its back singing Kumbaya?
Well,
Ooh.
I enjoyed, we watched Rocket Man last night. Before Line of Duty, we watched Rocket Man.
On Netflix now, right? I saw that the other day. I got very excited that it was on there.
And we watched that last night, and it's phenomenal. I mean, I love Taron Egerton anyway, because I think he's like a fucking chameleon. Like, he just, when he was in the Eddie the Eagle film, that was so good. But the thing I liked the most about it is that, and I posted about this on Instagram before, is that there was a distinct lack of homophobia present within the film, because with a lot of films, especially films set way back when, so I mean, 60s, I don't think you get it as much, but because it's like everybody's like, oh, counterculture revolution, blah, 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 is what they tend to focus on. But like, certainly 70s, 80s, 90s, any film like that that's about a queer star or a queer character, like the homophobia has to come into it somewhere. So it's either
get the gay bashers.
Yeah, it's either featured in them getting called names, it's featured in them getting, you know, like abused or like tormented or whatever, and it's always part of the thing that is supposed to make them stronger, like and make them be who they are, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the only time there was anything that was a little bit like that was there's a scene where he rings his mum, and his mum says to him, "You're never going to find proper love." And like, that was the only bit, but it was there. It was there for a reason. There was a purpose for it being there, and obviously that would have been an important part of his life. So that's why it was there as well. But yeah, there was just that distinct lack of that in it, and it was just him finding himself and being himself. And it was never drawn attention to the fact that, like, oh my god, like, he needs a coming out story, like all this sort of shit. It just was what it was, and it was, and the music, like the musical scenes were so seamlessly interwoven into it as well. Nice. It was just, cannot recommend people watch it enough. Like,
Taron singing, isn't it? It's actually him.
Because he went to he went to Elton John, and he said he was gonna lip sync, and then Elton John and him sang, I think he sang for Elton John, and Elton John was like, no, you need to sing it.
No, sorry, no, you're singing it. Sorry. Okay, Elton. No, that's fine.
Okay, it's perfectly good. Yes, it's, well, yeah, it's brilliant. And now I want a collection of sunglasses like Elton John.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I'm surprised you don't already have that.
I mean, yeah. Maybe I'll go on Amazon in a bit and just get like...
Add to cart. Yes, bye now. Don't give me time to think about it. Jesus.
Okay, so now we shall move on to...
Word of the Week!
Boom.
Boom! And
this week was Europe.
Yes, it was.
We decided we weren't going to talk about Brexit because nobody likes a Tory, and we don't want to give them more airtime. So
Europe was our word of the week.
Europe was our word of the week. So what did you get for Europe?
I will tell you. I'm getting it up now for you. I don't have a penis. I just research. So I was like, one of my favourite things are fucking stupid arcane laws. So I was like, I literally typed in, what's the name of the thing? Like weird European laws, right? And I've got a list, unusual laws in Europe that you wouldn't believe. So if you don't mind indulging me, I shall read through this list. Right, so number one, it is illegal to name your pig Napoleon in France. Aha! Yeah. Number two, in Switzerland, it's illegal to flush the toilet after 10 p.m.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
They can't enforce that law, surely.
Yup. If you live in an apartment, that's the deal. So it looks more like in flats or whatever. But yeah, after 10 p.m, you can't flush. So I hope you don't.
Have a party?
Quite literally, tough shit. Oh, this is one of my favourite ones, right? Number three, in the UK, it is against the law to handle salmon in suspicious circumstances.
What the fuck is a suspicious?
Well, that's what they're asking. What I want to know is how many people were wrongly handling salmon for that to have to go into law? Because.
Right. Do you reckon it was just like a load of robbers that and like thieves and cat burglars that had a packed lunch and there was salmon in it?
I don't know. But the thing is, right, you hear that and you think, fucking hell, that must be a really old law. But according to the Salmon Act of 1986, this is actually true. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, 1986 was 35 years ago. I know this because that's the year I was born. But that's still very recent. So, like, listen, you fucking fisherphiles, stop fucking the salmon. What's wrong with you? Leave the poor salmons alone. Sams. I just said leave the poor salmons alone.
What the fuck is... What? Oh, wait.
Just making a monocle on the salmon.
Like, how do you handle a salmon suspiciously or in suspicious circumstances? Do you just have to be like on your way to do a murder and then be like just taking my salmon along with me?
Just like walking, just you're in your black and white striped shirt, you got your mask on, your beret and your black and you're like doing the maybe you've got a bag with a dollar sign on it or maybe it says swag on it and you just walk by a river and a salmon gracefully jumps through the air as they want to do and just as it does you just gracefully trace the salmon with your fingers and the police are like you nicked me.
That or like
3 a.m. stroking a salmon.
The guy on Hercules with the Mac when he's like, wanna buy a sundial? But it's wanna buy a salmon.
So here are some less fun ones. So number four, it's illegal for men to wear skirts in Italy.
What?
Yeah.
What about kilt? Counts.
I don't know. I don't know. There's literally nothing on that one. Also, high heels are banned in parts of Greece. So it says, don't bring your heels to the Acropolis or any archaeological Greek site. But I mean, that makes sense. Like, I understand that because, you know, obviously stilettos particularly can be very damaging to stuff. But yeah, the skirts thing, I don't really. Again, because a lot of these are ridiculous, I doubt they are regularly enforced. But you know there's that one Jobsworth that's like, according to Article 7 of the thing, those are not actually culottes, sir. That is a skirt. And you are going to spend the night in the jail cell. So, kissing, number six, kissing on train platforms is banned in France. And apparently they do this to ease congestion. I can tell you right now, having lived in London for a long ass time and now living close to London, That's not what's causing congestion. People being utter and total cockwipes is what's causing congestion. Also, shitty trains, not big enough platforms, and just generally people are arseholes. That's what's causing. You've taken the one nice thing away. The one, not that like everyone has a French before they get on a French kiss.
I just grab the nearest person and just
Yeah. No. Like, oh yeah. Hanging clothes out in Switzerland on a Sunday is not allowed. On a Sunday? On a Sunday? Really? Really, Martha? On a fucking Sunday? On a Sunday? Look, we deal with looking at those fucking crusty bloomers Monday through Saturday. Sunday is our day of rest from your acid fanny pants. Like, leave us alone.
Acid fanny pants?
I credit where
new superhero due. Coming soon.
Credit where credit is due. Acid fanny is not mine, not my original. That comes from my very good friend Christopher. Acid fannies, he came up with that when we were in college. I can't remember the context, but I do remember almost dying from lack of oxygen. I was breathing so fast, or not.
That needs to be a superhero.
Acid fanny.
Acid fanny. We're introducing the new superhero.
This is my favourite one, right? Is illegal. Oh, hang on. That says legal. No, it must say it must be. No, what? That says illegal. I read that as illegal. That's even worse. It says it is legal to break out of prison in Germany. That can't be right. That can't be right.
Wait, what?
Yeah, hang on. That can't be right.
So you mean, right, I can go to Germany, I can murder a bunch of people, then I can break out of prison and it's perfectly legal. Because surely it's illegal to break out of prison everywhere.
Sorry.
Oh my God, what have you found?
I've just quickly gone onto Google because I'm like, that must be a typo, right? Because I was laughing, like, of course it's illegal to break out of prison. It's illegal to break out of prison anywhere. Like, how is this on the list? How, what? Okay. But yeah, now it says, now I see illegal. I've just gone onto Google and typed in, is it legal? And then you started talking to me. I looked at you and I've looked back and the top one is it legal to marry your cousin? hang on. Let's look at the top. So, is it legal to marry your cousin? Is it legal to carry pepper spray? Is it legal to drink in public in the UK? Is it legal to own a monkey in the UK? That's number four. How many people are trying to own monkeys in the UK? Is it legal to record phone calls, drive barefoot, own a sword in the UK? Right. Ooh. There are some people that want to marry their cousins while holding a sword and owning a monkey. I'm just saying. Is it legal to park on the pavement, record a conversation, carry a knife? Wow.
Oh, wow. Right. So I typed in, is it legal to, and then put an M. Is it legal to, right, I'm just going to go down and, is it legal to marry your cousin? Is it legal to marry your first cousin? Is it legal to marry your second cousin? Is it legal to marry yourself? Is it legal to marry a dead person in France?
So specific.
Enough people have searched that he comes from it.
Can I just say, it is legal in Germany.
To break out of prison?
Attempting to escape from prison is legal in Germany. Attempting to escape from prison is not punishable in Germany, as the law considers freedom to be a basic human instinct. However, a prisoner who damages property, murders, or assaults someone while escaping will be guilty of those crimes.
Yeah, but you could murder someone beforehand and then go to prison and break out.
Yeah, it doesn't say that they won't put you back in prison, but you wouldn't have any time added for escaping.
So you could just keep breaking out.
Yeah.
Catch me now, bitches! I'm 4 years on the run around the world and then go back and be like, I've run out of money. Let's come back to prison for a bit.
I've seen the Autobahn up and down this nation. Thinking about it now, I could have crossed borders and gone to live somewhere else, but I didn't. I came back. I missed my cellmate. Anyway, in Paris, an ashtray is considered a lethal weapon.
I mean, it is a lethal weapon. Have you not seen that episode of EastEnders where she kills someone with an ashtray?
Right. I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. But, like, anything is a lethal weapon, basically. In the right circumstances, yeah? It's the fact that it's labelled as one. So, like, lethal weapons in France, guns, knives, swords, ashtrays. It's on the list. It's like paracetamol being a fucking class A drug. Like, yeah, sure, you take enough of it, it's going to do some damage, but yeah, it's not likely that you will.
Every time somebody says something about taking too many drugs, all I can think of is fucking Gavin and Stacey. How many ibuprofen would it take to finish me off? You do drugs.
I can't afford that, can I? I feel like I'm going on holiday later this year. It is one of the best fucking things. That's amazing, yeah. Peeing in the sea in Portugal is illegal. And so is peeing in a canal in the Netherlands. It is illegal. Oh, this is amazing. Germany, sort your fucking laws out, right? It's fine. It's not illegal to break out of jail, but it is illegal to run out of fuel on the Autobahn in Germany. It's their motorway.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
So, like, you can escape out of jail legally, but make sure that car is fully fueled instead to go on the Autobahn. Otherwise, you fucked. That's just amazing. In Sweden, it is illegal to complain during the winter darkness period that you wish it was sunny.
I fucking love that. Oh my God. That should be a rule everywhere. Because it'd stop people going to me, it's so cold there. I'm like, no, it's beautiful. It's dark. The creatures of the night are coming out, darling. It's Halloween season. Not fucking sunshine and rainbows.
I love that because clearly there was a fucking rash of moaning fucking, like, let's say Janine. I think Janine's a good office name. Like, yeah. A rash of moaning Janines just, like, doing their data entry, like, oh, do you know what? I wish it was a bit more sunny. I miss the sun and just them everywhere, and people are like, I can't deal with this every fucking day, every fucking day, every fucking day. And then one day she says it and they're like, hello, police, please. I've got a lawbreaker in the office. So, oh, that is that the last one? Yeah, there you go. That's the last one. So there you are.
I thoroughly enjoyed those.
Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed those.
Yeah. So feel free to break out of jail, but, like, just make sure that tank is topped up.
Oh, well, 1,000%. So, I took a different tack.
Mm-hmm.
Tack, whatever. So, I was going to go historical at first.
Yeah.
And then Dave said the final countdown apparently was sung by a band called Europe.
Yes.
Which I did not know. But then I was like, ooh, bands. And then I went, ooh, Eurovision Song Contest. Of course. So I found a thing that's 10 facts on the Eurovision Song Contest that you probably didn't know. But there is one that I want to spend a minute on because it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So the first Eurovision Song Contest, can't speak. The first Eurovision Song Contest took place in 1956, but it took the UK 11 years to become victorious. And it was Sandy Shaw with Puppet on a String.
That's a lot quicker than I anticipated.
I know, right?
Everyone's got at least one auntie that's like, well, it's just because no one likes the UK.
That's the only reason. It's all fixed.
Okay. Number two. Apparently, performing second is cursed because no country who has ever performed second on the final night has ever gone on to win the contest. Ever.
Interesting.
Right?
And that's what... So I assume that every other, like, position has won at some point then. Not position, placement of performance.
I mean, it doesn't tell. But it doesn't
tell. But one would assume
that that's, yeah, that's where it goes. Apparently it's broadcast in 5 different continents.
I was going to say countries. I was like, oh, that's not very many, considering
it's... That's it. Nobody else does it. ABBA are dubbed as the most successful act ever to come out of Eurovision. However, the UK, the good old UK, this is probably the reason nobody likes us. You know what the UK gave ABBA in 1974? Nilpois.
Oh, nilpois. That makes more sense. Yeah, sorry.
Also a bit of the clap. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you want a round of applause? We'll give you the clap. Oh, well, middle-aged women everywhere are going to see Mamma Mia now in their fucking droves, mate. So, but they're feeling pretty stupid now.
Mamma Mia is fucking brilliant.
I've still not seen it.
That film, don't watch the second one. The second one's shit. The songs in the second one are really good, but the film is shit. But yeah, the first one is... Fucking love Julie Wallace in that film.
Yeah, I do love Julie Wallace. And Meryl Streep. Yeah, I'm sure I'll watch it at some point.
Yeah, you better add.
Right.
In 1969, 4 countries won it.
What?
The UK, Spain, France, and the Netherlands all racked up the same score. So they just went, you've all won. Instead of making them do, like, I don't know, a sing-off.
Or just, like... So the way, if I remember correctly, because I've watched it a few times when I was younger with my mum, it's one of those things that I'm not really bothered about now. But if I recall, it's like a telephone vote, isn't it? And then the country that has the most votes, they get, is it 12 points?
Yeah, so it's 12 points.
And then it goes in twos, doesn't it, from there? So like 12, 10. So instead of, could they not just say who had the most actual telephone votes overall is the winner? Wouldn't that just be...
No. Because I don't know if it is just a telephone vote.
Okay.
I don't know if that adds to it, but I don't know if that is just the thing. I think it's, I don't know, there must be judging panels. I don't fucking...
I bet the UK were livid.
Probably. Apparently, though, the UK are not the, like, the least successful country. Oh. Apparently, Norway is less successful.
Oh, yeah, well, that's because, like, everyone's like, oh, God, look at them. They've figured out everything. Everyone that lives there is happy. They've got everything under control. Fuck you, Norway, with your fucking, like, high standard of life. The rest of us are miserable, so fuck you.
Fuck off, Four Eyes.
Get fucked, Four
Eyes.
Yeah, that surprises me, actually.
So this is the one that I found really interesting. The rules of the contest mean only 6 members of each country can be on stage during a performance. Right, until 1971, it was only 3. So this is the one that I was like, oh my God, I want to know the rules, right? So I went and looked at the Eurovision rules, right? Uh-huh. And even now, no more than 6 people are allowed on stage, including backup singers and dancers. But in recent years, backup singers have been allowed to be invisible. So you're allowed to have them backstage or out of camera shot.
Huh.
When you think about Eurovision, though, you think about, like, all the sort of showmanship that goes into it.
Yeah.
And that's like...
Wait,
have I imagined extra backup dancers? Like,
I mean, can you get round it? Could you have, like, backup singers and dancers from different countries?
No, I don't think so. No, I think it just means...
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, well... But Look, this is the thing, right? The rules surrounding nationality have always been really lax, and it's generally down to each country to make its own rules. The singers can usually come from anywhere. Normally, it's only the songwriters have to be native. Okay. But even that is not always.
Yeah.
Because apparently, none of Luxembourg's 5 winners came from there. 4 of them were French, and 1 of them was Greek.
Oh. Mind you, I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, because it's who the country is choosing to represent that country, I guess, as opposed to yeah. They have to be from the country. But you, like, yeah, you would assume that you would choose someone
from
your country to represent the country.
Right.
Yeah, or at least someone that's living in the country.
And like,
yeah.
All Eurovision songs have to... are not allowed to be any longer than 3 minutes. Which I think is a good rule, really.
It's an excellent rule, but I can tell you from my past experience watching it, a lot of them feel longer than 3 minutes. I swear to God, you could complete the fucking Lord of the Rings trilogy before some of those fucking songs finish. You know within like 2 seconds or not whether like you're going to be able to bear it or not. You know when someone comes on and they hit a power ballad, but like a power ballad that was bad in the 90s kind of power ballad. And you're like, no.
Do you know what I feel like? I feel like Eurovision is like karaoke. And I feel like Eurovision should be all fun. It should be nobody taking themselves seriously. Mm-hmm. It should be, you know, hilarious. Like even if you're doing a power ballad, it should be hilariously over the fucking top. And
absolutely.
That's shit. And it should not be
on levels of over the top.
Yeah, it should not be somebody coming out doing fucking Whitney. And I feel like Eurovision is supposed to be like karaoke and draggy and pantomime and OTT and not taken seriously and cheesy as fuck. And anything that's like serious is just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
why?
The Eurovision contest is basically what it should be is it's just a stereotype of itself at this point.
Yes, exactly.
Like, it is like a cliched stereotype that loves itself for it. That's what it should be. Because if it's not that, there's no point to it.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah, no. I used to watch Eurovision religiously. Eurovision used to be one of those things that I used to watch. Children in Need was one of those things that I always watched.
The stuff that went on really late that you somehow managed to, like, twist your parents' arm into letting you watch until, like, 2 in the morning. Absolutely.
And I would stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning and watch Children in Need and be like, I need to see the Grand Total!
It's so important to me.
But yes, that was our Europe takes. It was fun to delve into some weird European laws and some strange things about European
laws.
I'm still not over the salmon one.
Yeah, because what is a suspicious circumstance? Because it sounds, you know, like when they're like, they died under suspicious circumstances. You can at least be like, well, I think they mean murder, but tell me about them sweet, sweet circumstances. But with a salmon, you're like, what are they doing to that poor salmon? Are they cooking it a chicken dinner? Are they taking it to Primark? What? Like, I need to know.
Shall I spin
the wheel apart? Yeah.
You said you were never going to let me do that again.
I said I was never going to ask you. And I didn't. I didn't ask you. You, my love, volunteered that all by yourself.
Bow chicka wow wow. Be the bot.
So do it. Do it. Spin it. You'll spin me right round, baby. Oh, what? Oh, she's got a face on. Go on. What's the word?
That's a good one this week.
Oh, go on.
Pledge.
Oh, I've immediately thought about polishing.
What have you thought about polishing, though? That's an expensive.
That it can fuck off. You can shove your pledge up your ass. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Pledge. The pledge. I think that'll be a good one.
Yeah.
I bet there's some interesting shit.
Yeah. I mean, you pledge in, that's what they're called in America, aren't they?
When pledge allegiance to the flag.
I mean, like sorority houses and fraternities, like the people that are trying to get in, they're called pledges. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I pledge my allegiance to sleeping.
Next week's word of the word is pledge. If you've got any funny stories or things you hate about this word, drop a comment on one of the social media channels. By social media channels, we mean Instagram.
Instagram.
And by, if you've got any funny stories, I mean, if you've taken any weird pledges, if you've signed up to any weird pledges, if you were like, I pledge my fanny to allegiance of the devil. Like, that's the sort of shit we want to hear about.
If you, in fact, did polish a bishop.
Yeah, there you go. If you hated our podcast, don't ask, because we're not asked. Genuinely not bothered. But if you loved it, you can find us on Instagram. And I'm only saying Instagram this week because we don't want any of others. You can find us on Instagram, where Sam does our amazing reels. And I forget to post the stuff that I'm supposed to post.
Yeah, it's all good. It was a weird week last week.
And if you don't want to see us together and you want to look at us individually, you can find us. Find Sam on.
You can find me at Masters of None. And Laura is can be found on the Instagram at
Better Late Than Novel.
Yeah.
Come and here. The Marmite Queens is just the Marmite Queens. That's it. I'm done. Goodbye. I'm out.
Goodbye.
Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Marmite Queens, you dumpster fire garbage people. And now for the outro.
You can't afford a theme tune. Definitely can't afford an outro.